Carrie gets hacked and ends up with her shirt off. It was a crazy episode, and we're ready to dive in for Homeland next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That's right.
We have the intro back.
The intro is back. I love it. I love it. Let's wait for it. Hold on. There it is.
You want the trumpet?
Yeah. Hello. Welcome to AfterBuzz, everybody. We are talking Homeland Season 7, Episode 2, called Rebel Rebel. And we got the theme back this episode.
We do.
I forgot, but it was very well pointed out that every episode, every season of Homeland typically begins with the first episode. No theme, but we got it back this this time. I was happy to see it.
And now we're in full throttle.
We're in full throttle. I always love and look forward to seeing the different cuts that they're going to make to the theme every
season. I'm excited.
It's very telling as to what can we expect. My boy Quinn, we saw him.
We didn't even get some of it.
We didn't see him at all in the last episode, but he's there in pieces and in spirit in the Homeland theme. And one of the things I also noticed was that they a lot of the quotes that we hear overlying are talking about her illness. So I feel like that...
In the intro?
Yeah, in the intro.
Yeah.
So that's going to be like a big theme,
yeah.
I guess, throughout the season. It's really like Carrie under the microscope and really examining her mental state. I mean, it's always there.
What's new, right?
It's always there, but I mean, this was the first episode we saw her with a psychiatrist. So I feel like it's going to be maybe... especially in the forefront in these next following episodes.
I agree.
But yeah, so... So before we get fully into the episode, I just get excited because Homeland's so good. my name's Leslie. You can catch me at Leslita Face. And Roger?
And my name's Roger Corral. You can find me on Twitter, Roger_Corral. And you can find me on Instagram if you type in Beef Supreme.
That's right. Or a taco.
Or a talk. You'll
That's
find
my
something.
Running joke now. I want to always say that. But so, yeah, what did you think about this episode?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. It felt, overall, it feels like we're back in Homeland. I don't know if I like the direction it's going in terms of, I feel like eventually we're going to have to face the question of what is domestic terrorism? And I don't know if
with O'Keefe. I mean, that's where the episode started.
I don't know if we'll like the answer.
One of the things that I really enjoyed this episode, it was different, but it was also super frustrating because we're so used to seeing Carrie just be like, you know, obviously sometimes she makes impulsive decisions. Well, not sometimes, a lot of the times. But I just felt like in the very beginning of this episode, I was like, Carrie, you're dumb. Like, she lands herself in a pretty crazy situation in this episode. And it was a very sort of amateurish mistake that lands her there.
Okay, so this episode we see the introduction of social media, and in particular it felt like the introduction of
we've seen social media before.
No, but we've never seen it used. I mean,
we've never seen Carrie go into 4chan. You're right.
Yes, it's trying to parallel with what happened in this past election in real life. And you know, you have people on social media, on Facebook, on 4chan, on Reddit. And, you know, there's a lot of older people that don't even know what 4chan is.
I don't think a lot of people. I don't think, like, the majority of people go to 4chan. I feel like that really is a very specific niche group of people.
It's a scary group of people because, honestly, I think these are people that try to get engaged in politics.
And for people who don't know what 4chan is, it's sort of like a...
It's a forum.
It's a forum for extremist views?
No, it's not so much extremist. I think it's just
can
like...
Can we just say weirdos or hackers?
No,
or?
I think just like any place, eventually it gets overtaken by certain entities.
By trolls?
Yeah, and I think...
Professional trolls.
I think 4chan eventually became the victim of that. And I think since Carrie's out of the CIA, you know, she's trying to find a way to investigate. So she uses 4chan.
It was so bizarre. So I wanted to say that I feel like this episode made me feel like for the first time, Carrie really is on the out. Like,
I know she's using
it. Yeah. Because, okay, so she's in the CIA, right? And she does stuff. And then she's out of the CIA. But even when she was out in past seasons, you know, it's them usually saying, oh, can you help us still? Or it's some outside organization saying, can you get involved in something? Or it's the president elect asking her for help. Somehow she gets pulled back. But nobody's asking her for anything. She's literally completely
she's on the
out on her own mission. And by the time in this episode, she realizes she doesn't have.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have anything to do with that? I think she somehow lands in this.
I think that's why this episode felt a little
of a situation.
Yeah, I think that's why this episode felt a little off for me, because at the end, you know, this episode was about her using 4chan trying to investigate something. Eventually, she goes through this whole ordeal with the online hacker, but then what's the result? Like, she was able not to get hacked and not to be blackmailed. But
there's
then where do we go from here?
I feel like all
here?
She did was create, she created a troublesome scenario for her. And it'll eventually come back and bite her.
You think this is going to come back and bite her?
Of course. But let's kind of start from the beginning to, you know, sort of explain what happened. So, essentially, the episode begins with, okay, so it starts with O'Keefe, and she finally decides to agree to release the 200 so federal employees that were detained, right? Her chief of staff, Wellington, gets really hard on her, which I kind of liked, and he was like, hey, listen, you can't just keep holding them, and now that, you know, the general just died in the last episode, there's suspicion on her. O'Keefe is on the radio talking about how this is very suspicious. Her chief of staff used to live on his street, and so the White House just looks really bad right now. So he was like, you have to do this as a sign of good faith, and we need to bring Saul on board.
Yes.
And so then, you know, he goes and talks to Saul, and he gets him on board. And so they make the whole press announcement about, okay, he's going to be the new chief advisor
the
of
NSA.
Security.
NSA, yeah.
And Carrie sees this on TV, and she's just like, I feel like she doesn't want to accept it at first. She was like, well, I don't believe it until I see it, or it's still bad. But essentially, she lost her mission. Like, the whole thing that she was like, I have to stop this, I have to get these people out, it kind of sort of
but I don't get this mentality.
It fizzles on its own. So she's kind of like lost.
The mission worked, right?
Well, no, not her mission. I mean,
the mission is that they get out, right?
And they're out. The problem got solved, but not because of anything she did.
Okay.
So she was sort of left with like her bags full.
Yeah. I feel like she was being a little selfish. At the end of the day, she worked for the CIA. You worked for what's best for the country. And in the end, you know, the whole the government felt that it was the best move to proceed forward with getting rid of all 200 detained federal employees.
No, we get that, but the whole point is
she should be happy, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I think you even mentioned this last episode. Now I feel like maybe she did get bored, and now she is trying to figure out what to do next. So she resorts to continue to spy on the chief of staff's apartment. She finds a woman in the apartment. And that's sort of what leads her down the rabbit hole of trouble, which she was like, for all we know, this could have been a friend, a girlfriend. She immediately goes into suspicious mode and she's like, I have to find out who this woman is in Wellington's
apartment.
Yeah,
I mean, she's going to have the itch. And anything that she notices in that apartment, she's going to investigate. That's what she wants to be in the CIA.
But does she need to invest? Like,
no, she doesn't need
honestly,
to do anything.
I felt like that was almost unnecessary. Like you said, you know,
everything Carrie's done,
what she wanted got happened.
Everything that Carrie's done since she left the CIA, it's unnecessary. At the end of the day, she has the itch. She's going to try and investigate. I don't think she knows how to use her talents. I don't think she knows where to apply her skill set. And so she's trying. She's doing her own investigative work at home. She's going to have the itch. She wants to go out there and do something. And if she sees someone suspicious, even if it's not suspicious, if she sees someone there, she wants to know who it is. She's gonna work, for lack of a better word.
I think it just feels like it feels frustrating because I love Carrie as a character. I think she's fascinating, and I feel like she really does have strong convictions, and right now she did seem lost. It feels like she's still observing and spying just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Even though she doesn't really have a real purpose.
I think her being lost makes us lost. Like, we're both like, man, what is Carrie doing?
So in the beginning of the episode, she met with a psychiatrist or a therapist, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we've seen that before, right?
Maybe not. I don't remember that psychiatrist.
I feel like, I mean, she was in a mental health facility before, not by her own choosing. Remember, Saul put her there. But actually, like, you know, talking one-on-one, it felt very almost like, you know, Tony Soprano or, you know, when Mr. Robot
talks
to his therapist. Like, it was kind of cool seeing her in that setting.
I don't know if it's cool. I feel like Carrie doesn't need that. And obviously, I mean, you said Saul put her there. Her sister put her there now. Carrie doesn't need this. I think when Carrie needs it, she'll go to it. I don't think this is needed for her. I mean, what is it about her that's so crazy right now? Nothing's crazy about her. Like, she just wants to entertain herself, just like any other hobbyist wants to entertain themselves with whatever hobby they have. I think the sister's being harsh on her, on Carrie. I think most people are usually hard on Carrie. Just let her. She enjoys investigating. Just let her.
I completely disagree with you. I feel like all of her actions have shown
that I hear
she
that a lot.
Does need this. And I do agree that sometimes her sister's hard on her, but I do feel like Carrie right now is directionless and doesn't know what to do with her.
That doesn't mean she needs a psychiatrist.
She definitely needs one. And I thought it was so interesting that the psychiatrist asked her about, like, her medication. She said she's been on lithium for years. Her sister's prescribed it to her, which I didn't know. I'm not sure if we really knew this before. We knew that her sister was getting her the medications, but she said prescribed them to her,
which
I think is interesting. And then she brought up the fact that apparently lithium, after a certain amount of years, just stops working. Which, I mean, does that mean that...
We've been seeing crazy Carrie. And I don't want to say crazy. That's a bit insulting. Like, I don't know what the proper term is, but maybe unstable Carrie. I don't know what the proper word is for someone that doesn't have their medication.
I feel like this episode epitomized that Carrie is not unstable. And not just regular, like, you know, out on a lead Carrie. Like, I do feel like she's unstable.
Also, you think she's unstable?
Yes. And I think this episode highlighted that.
I don't think that's fair. Because she's investigating something that makes her unstable?
This woman is a trained CIA agent. Yeah. And she ended up falling for, like, a download virus that ended up being ransomware. Like, how dumb was that?
I don't want to, again, mix it in with our usual politics. But that happens.
No, love
you. No, yeah. People get hacked all the time. Like, government officials. It happened in this last election.
CIA
agents, FBI agents, federal government employees. You'd be surprised how easy it is to hack someone sometimes. And I feel like you're putting too much stock in her falling for this. At the end of the day, it was a mistake. Again, she doesn't know where to go. She doesn't have her contacts. She can't go to the president. She can't go to Saul. She can't go to anyone. So, yeah, she resorted to 4chan, which, by the way, anytime there's a major event, if you go to 4chan or Reddit, you'd be surprised the updates that you get just on that place. People do their due diligence in that place. And again, it's not always correct, but it's not so far-fetched that you would fall for something in there.
I completely just think that this was a foolish mistake. It almost feels uncharacteristic for Carrie to make such an elementary mistake.
Then I don't know Carrie.
No, I do.
She fell for Brody.
That was completely different.
Exactly. If anything, that's immature, Carrie. A trained CIA agent fell for a potential terrorist? That's insane.
That's different because she was essentially trying to get him to be attracted to her, to sleep with her and whatnot. that's different. That's like a long game play. This was just like everyone knows better than to download something from a shady website. I don't even fault her for going to that website to try to find information. But literally to download something that you have no idea who sent it to you, where it's from, you know, you're in a shady website and you're just going to download it like that. And she knows that she has like very secretive information on her laptop. I felt like that was kind of almost a little bit weak writing.
You're being way too harsh on the realities of what actually happens. Again, it happened in this last election.
This isn't like, you know, someone's grandmother who just barely learned how to use the internet.
It happened in the real election.
Not.
They opened
to a CIA agent. I don't think so. Okay, I feel like she is trained and knows better.
By the way, a CIA agent that got fired.
No,
yeah.
But not because of anything bad she did.
Yeah, because she's incompetent.
She's not incompetent.
That's why she got fired.
That is not why she got fired.
Okay.
She was at one point like a security manager for like huge companies.
Yeah.
Like it just, it, I didn't get that. I felt like that was not necessarily well executed. And maybe it'll come down to it's because her meds don't work right now and she's not of right mind. But that just felt very weird.
Okay, okay.
Obviously, me and Roger disagree. Please tell us what you guys think in the comments. I mean, do you think, I mean, did it make sense for Carrie to make such a stupid mistake like that that ended up costing her? Oh, I mean.
I think you're underestimating how many mistakes she's done throughout Homeland.
Not like that.
I know. They've been worse. It leads to actual terrorist acts. Like, it's insane how much stock you're putting in this little mistake, which really, in the end, will just harm her. She's actually done errors that could harm the country.
Name one.
Well, Brody's one of them. She fell for her own asset. She fell for
her. She actually stopped him from committing a terrorist attack.
Okay.
So what was the mistake?
She brought an asset aboard that was a potential danger.
Aboard what?
Aboard the CIA. She had him as an asset.
Yeah, and he ended up helping.
Okay. She's, I can't remember the exact details, and I hope someone on the chat.
She really hasn't made a little mistake that is actually, like, could easily been not done with just some foresight. No, not like that.
Okay.
I think if ever she makes a mistake, it's because there were clearly, like, a lot of gray areas or just stuff you really can't predict. But something like that, come on. But let's move on. So, essentially, she has, you know, ransomware on her computer, demanding for her initially, I think it was like $2,000. It got up to like $5,000 and $10,000 and $20,000.
It went up to $20,000.
Max couldn't help her, which also, again, it just felt like it was so weird. You see these, you've seen what extent and what capabilities Carrie and Max have been able to do over the seasons, and they're being brought down by just this random, you know, guy online. And then the turn that the storyline took was surprising.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've seen it in other shows. A lot of these people that are just underground people, people that are interested, you know, sometimes they still have capabilities, both from a technological standpoint, from a blackmail standpoint. And yeah, I think Max is very capable. The fact that he was impressed by what was done to her, that's scary.
It was scary. So at some point, Carrie realizes she can't pay and she has dangerous stuff on her computer. And she's mentioned several times that she doesn't have money at all. She's completely broke, apparently. That's why she's living with her sister. And so she sort of starts playing the hacker guy.
Yeah, I mean, we get to see topless Carrie.
We see her back.
Yeah, but we see her back.
I don't know, that the whole scene, I mean, obviously it's supposed to be uncomfortable, but it was so weird, and I just was, like, thinking the whole time, Carrie, like, you know, look what you got yourself into.
Yeah, again, I don't think it's as bad as you're making it seem. I feel like she knew how to, she was able to finally meet the guy under her terms. She kicked some ass, and she handled it.
That is true. She is able to handle it. The whole time she's kind of doing her little mini seduction of this guy, it actually did felt very reminiscent of season one Homeland when she's trying to flirt with Brody. I feel like we haven't seen Carrie be like
flirty,
seductress Carrie. Obviously, she knows what to do, and she kind of plays him, like you said. And then when she finally does meet him, even though the situation was kind of scary at first. You know, once she gets close, she kicks his butt. I mean, she is a trained agent. Again, this is what she's supposed to be doing, not letting some randomo get the best of her, but sort of, you know, laying down the law. But, like, again, why are you even in this situation, Carrie? I felt that was frustrating. Also, I did notice, and I don't know if you realize, the guy who ended up being the hacker guy is the same actor who plays Aaron's boyfriend on The Walking Dead.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Did not, the creeperness factor kind of.
I mean, he was in the dark. You don't see him very well, but I looked it up afterwards. So,
And he died in that show.
I mean, spoilers.
I mean, if by this point, that's like a season behind.
No, it's not.
All right.
Sorry, you guys. We didn't say his name. Hopefully we didn't spoil anything.
No,
what
I'm saying is he meets his demise in both episodes.
Well, that's not true. We didn't see him die. We see him get beat up. He's severely left battered on the floor.
Severely battered.
But she threatens him. She says, I know you. I have your fingerprints. I have your video. Don't mess with me. I still think the situation's going to come back and kick Carrie in the butt later.
I think she'll be fine.
Okay, we'll see. We will see. But moving on from Carrie, another big storyline this episode was O'Keefe. And so, obviously, he's someone who talks a lot, but especially this episode made it very evident that he doesn't believe hardly anything of what he says. He knows he just has a fan base. He feeds them talking points. And again, I still don't know what quite his motivation is, but obviously this episode proves that he doesn't even believe any of the stuff he says, most of it.
It's attention. I mean, at the end of the day, you're a figure. You're famous. People know you. That's enticing. And that's what I said when we first started the episode. I feel like they're going to pose a question to us as to what defines domestic terrorism. And I think that's a scary thought because, again, there's another question within that, which is how far does the First Amendment go? At the end of the day, if you're someone that's spouting crazy conspiracy, if you're someone that's spouting anti-government rhetoric, I mean, it's still a free country. You should still be allowed to do so. But to what degree? And I think that's a scary thought in stuff like this.
So in the opening theme of this season's Homeland, someone pointed out that one of the quotes that we hear is Saul saying something about information warfare. And I feel like that is a great way to sort of describe a lot of the issues. I mean, right now, even in the country, but that are happening in the episode, there's so much different facts going on, alternative facts, fake news. But then there's like, hopefully, some people can try to find like unbiased, just like objective information, but that's often hard.
I do think that's a great term. It's gaslighting. You're gaslighting the country. And, you know, just like the allegations against Russia in the current climate, I feel like that's exactly what's happening in this episode with people like O'Keefe. They're trying to muddle the waters with their own beliefs. And I still find it fascinating that people just believe random opinion commentators. You know, if I tell you guys something on the air, why would you believe that over government officials that have been trained for years? I think there's a general mistrust sometimes.
I know, but then sometimes, you know, like even nowadays, you're like the White House will say something and it's not, you know.
No, but the point, exactly that, but the reason the current administration isn't trusted is because of their own. Again, once you have a reputation, there's no reason. Again, if you have trained agents, if you have trained government officials, if you have people that have been doing this their whole lives and they've never lied. It's kind of, to me, I find it fascinating how easily people sometimes don't want to trust just a figure of authority. I find it fascinating.
I don't know if I fully agree because I example of the general who essentially led the assassination attempt against O'Keefe. Again, that was someone who was in office his whole life, yeah, and still tried to overthrow a presidential elect.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
And I would take him seriously. That's my point. Someone like him is not O'Keefe. That's what I'm saying. You're right. At the end of the day, if you disagree or agree, but with people in top positions, I get it. It happens. But if you're disagreeing, if you're siding with someone that is simply a political commentator, I just find that I don't want to disparage that because sometimes they have valid points, but why? That's what I find fascinating. You're right. If the general is disagreeing with her and you thought the general was completely wrong and you saw some sexism in him, again, that's valid, but it's still a general. Like, you could still make the argument that, you know, you believe him because he's been, he's had a power of authority for a long time. Why would you believe a randomo? That's what I don't get.
You know, people sometimes listen to a radio commentator, or they have a show, or they have a figure that they've listened to for years, and they've sort of built that trust.
That's
that
weird.
That happens sometimes. But I think the point is that right now, in real life and in the show, there's so much information out there, and it's not hard to see that a lot of people don't know what to trust or what to believe.
No, but that's not... It's there's a lot of information, but there's a difference between a lot of information and just not truth. And I think that's where the gaslighting comes in. And that's where a lot of the administration currently at the moment in the real White House...
Well, let's not get too much
issues
into the current
No, but that's
situation.
My point. They have a reputation because of that. Because they've tried to not say the truth at times. When O'Keefe is on the air, he's alleging that the president murdered McClinton.
Yeah.
You can't just throw that out. Like, where do you get these facts? Like, that to me is where the questioning comes in people's confidence and trust in a randomo. that comes from nowhere. You're assuming that the president killed this person because a randomo told you on the radio? I don't know. That's what I find, if not fascinating, odd, I guess.
I feel like the episode, you know, showed O'Keefe. She had a meeting with a couple of her top staff officials, and they bring it up that it looks suspicious. And then later, when she has a meeting with the senator, he also brings up the fact that it is concerning that he died so soon after, you know, he was sentenced. And even O'Keefe said it herself, like, yeah, you know, no one's going to, I mean, it's kind of hard to believe that he would just die of, you know, a heart attack or whatever they said it was so quickly. So I understand the mistrust
what
the situation around there is. And because of the situation, and Keene realizes that things around her look suspicious, is part of the reason why she decides to release the 200 people and bring Saul aboard to sort of help clean her figure a little, clean her image. And eventually they tell Saul, we need you to go after O'Keefe and find him because they're still struggling.
And again, that's where it comes back to my earlier point. I don't know. I mean, Saul obviously feels uncomfortable. What are you going after? You're going after a citizen who's spouting crazy stuff. Is that appropriate?
They said they considered him a domestic terrorist.
I know. And to a degree, I agree. But I wouldn't fault someone for not agreeing with that. Also, can I just say, I love that Saul isn't... I said it in the last episode. Saul in that position of, like, second in command. Perfect. It's beautiful. That's the way Homeland should be.
I agree. And I feel like Keene really does need someone like Saul. Because I feel he really is level-headed. I think he even knows that going after O'Keefe is kind of, I don't know, maybe a little fruitless. But if anyone's going to do it, it's good for Saul to do it because he's going to handle it, right? And he's not going to, you know, make some terrible error that'll land her into a worse situation. I think at some point in the first scene with O'Keefe and her chief of staff, and she's telling him all of these things, and I just wanted to be like, she shouldn't be listening to this person on the radio. Like, this is the president, and she's listening to a right winger on, like,
no, but that's,
and it's
my,
consuming her thoughts.
But,
like,
but that's my point. When a large majority of the country is starting to fall for randomos that
but you said that already.
No, but that's my point. How can you not ask the president to even know this? The president should know this. If the majority of the voting electorate is listening to this,
we don't know that though. We don't know that.
Well, we see some of it when he stays in that.
Yeah, we do. We see that there are groups of people who follow him loyally, but he later describes them as the outside fringe. I think I'm safe to assume that it's not the majority of the country that's listening. She still got elected, right? So I think it's just a small group of people, and she can't do her job well if she's constantly listening to this extremist in her head. And that's part of the issue. Like, she should just ignore him and move on. You're never going to have people...
Some people are never going to come aboard.
If you're
going to
be the president, you know, there's always going to be people who hate you. And people who hate you a lot and say horrible things about you.
Yeah.
She can't let that consume her.
Not consume you,
it feels like she is.
I think she's appropriate at the moment. She just went through the whole thing where she arrested 200 employees. I think she's still in that delicate stage where she doesn't know what she should trust. You know, her own administration, for all intents and purposes, attacked her. So if there's a fringe group out there, I don't know if we ever got the vote numbers, the vote tally. I don't know by what margin she won. I don't remember. But if you have a crazy group out there like O'Keefe, who's out there spouting conspiracy theories or hateful rhetoric against the government, I think once it reaches a certain level, I don't blame you for being consumed by it. Because it's going to matter whether you want to be consumed by it or not.
I get why she's paranoid. I think she needs to stop listening to O'Keefe. Like, you have a country to run. You have a million other things to do.
Of course, of course.
She doesn't need to be listening
to him. But not listening to it doesn't mean that it's going to stop. So
it's never going to stop. That's why she shouldn't listen to it. It's just like, you know, when you have celebrities and they're always going to get trolls sending them mean messages on Twitter, you can't, like, feed into that.
I don't know. I've seen Chrissy Teigen put down trolls sometimes.
She's hilarious,
though. It works sometimes.
But yeah, speaking of the outside fringe, so in this episode, O'Keefe continues to evade people searching him because he has loyal families, loyal listeners who give him safe harbor. And so he stays with the family in this episode, but I feel like quickly we see that he really doesn't have that much in common with them, and he doesn't fit in with them. They take him out shooting, and they even have Keane's picture as target practice. And then,
which again, domestic terrorism. that's creepy.
It is creepy. And when he tries to shoot it, he quickly shows how not trained with a gun he is. He gets hit by the kickback, right?
Yeah.
And, like, hurts himself, falls to the floor. So I liked the, I love this scene because he's, like, in the middle of talking about the Second Amendment right and how it's, like, you
know. He's a wannabe tough guy.
But then it's all a facade. And that scene sort of epitomized that. And then later when he's talking to his producer slash girlfriend or whatever, she still wants to go home and he's trying to convince her to stay. And that's when he's like, you know, you can't leave me here with these crazies. That's where all of his true feelings come out, essentially. the son of the guy who's letting him stay there kind of overhears it, and he kind of goes and sort of try to make him feel better. Like, oh, I don't really mean it. Oh, she's just a terrible girlfriend and I'm doing whatever to say. But it... all of it is just ingenuous, obviously.
But see, again, it comes back to my point of, I don't know why people would trust a randomo. You know, it makes no sense. This guy has nothing that actually relates to the community that he portrays to be real America. It's all a facade, like you said.
It is a facade.
So the only purpose is attention, and it's sad. It's sad that someone like him could manipulate so many people into just believing him, because as much as we might want to ignore him, as much as we might think it's stupid, they're still gonna believe him, and it's scary. Like, those people still exist, and for one reason or another, they do not trust authority figures or certain government officials.
I mean, we see this in real life. You know, there
are women in charge.
there are devout listeners to people like Rush Limbaugh or Alex Jones, and they can say something really crazy and out there, but they have listeners who have been maybe, you know, hearing them on the radio for years and years and years, and maybe they just hit all the right talking points that they can relate to or they empathize with. Somehow they feel like they've been ignored, and this person makes them feel like they are acknowledged. And
I think that's the problem. They buy into it. People want to feel. Politics isn't about feel. And if you're in politics for feeling, then you're in it for the wrong reasons. You should be in politics to better the country and actually do things that are realistic and positive for the country. If you're in it for feelings, I think that it's not only sad for the individual because you probably need something to make you feel better, but that's sad for the country. And I would hope that people don't fall too much for someone like O'Keefe, because that's...
Well, here's the thing. Someone like O'Keefe isn't in politics. He's just a political commentator.
That's politics. He's in politics. Like, he's in the national, just but like he, Rush Limbaugh. These people are in the national
dialogue.
And
I think that's why he's the most dangerous, because he's not in politics. He doesn't have to be held accountable for anything.
That's fair.
He literally can just say his opinion, and, you know, he can say, this is what I think, and this is what I think. But he never has to act on anything. He never has to, you know, work towards a promise he delivered his constituents and then fail and then, you know, get criticized for it or get criticized for compromising on something.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to compromise.
He could just talk.
He can just talk and never, ever, like I said, be held accountable for it. And that's why people still, you know... he doesn't fail in them, because he always just lets he says what the people want to hear.
That's a very valid point, and I think they highlight it really well in this episode. It's always easy to scream from the sidelines. You know, when you're a politician, you know, we saw it in this last election. Anytime you see politicians go in, or people that aren't politicians go in, and they're coming in from the outside criticizing people that are in, it's easy because you haven't done it. You don't have any dirt on you. So someone that's in it, it's harder to explain, because you have to go through... It's not so easy to explain politics to a group that just wants to hear talking points and feel good stories. It's easy, you're right, for someone like O'Keefe to just come in and make you feel good. I don't know. I still find it sad.
my thing is, I know you said you think O'Keefe's just doing it all for attention.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I mean, right now, he's literally on the run. He doesn't have a home. He doesn't like living with random people who he considers crazies or the fringe. I feel like there has to be someone bankrolling him. Like, someone who... I mean, we saw last season that he was, you know, part of the whole conspiracy with Dar.
Yeah.
And putting out propaganda.
He had the whole, like, troll machine happening.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like he's not just doing it for attention. There's someone out there that is still actively trying... And it could even just be the opposite party, but someone actively trying to take down Keen, and he is still their mouthpiece. So maybe we've already seen who it is. Maybe it's something else.
That's a valid theory.
But I don't know. Maybe we'll find out more about that. Obviously, they're not taking care of him right now, but he has enough loyal supporters out there that he doesn't need them, but because he could essentially at some point land behind bars, right, and being detained, and
yeah,
there has to be a reason. I has to be more than just attention, I think.
That's true. That's fair.
So at some point in this episode, Saul, you know, starts his investigation. He ends up in the same town that O'Keefe was in last episode. I don't know if he's in the same town. And he ends up talking to the guy in charge. He goes to the mattress store and ends up talking to the police officer.
Yeah.
Because as we remember, the police essentially helped O'Keefe get away.
And we see that big truck, you know, dashes through the crowd there, and they're flipping off the police. Again, as much as the president might want to ignore it, as much as a lot of us might think it's stupid, there's a lot of dumb people out there that will just go into what's the word, group mentality, and just attack any government official or any persons of authority. Saul is here to do his job and making sure that someone on the run is held accountable. Why would the town go into total freak mode?
Obviously this town is super supportive of O'Keefe. I mean, that one guy had a tattoo of him.
Oh, that's true.
The police officers are deliberately breaking the law. By helping
him.
Oh,
this town is full. It's gone, man. This town is gone.
So, yeah, they're super angry to see the FBI. They're not friends. But I really,
the cognitive dissonance is just, it's insane.
I really like how Saul handled the situation. He's like, you know, uncuff him, let me just talk to him, get him coffee. He's like, he treats him like a human. As much as, you know, he might disagree with his actions or, you know, the fact that he won't, you know, he's obstructing the law. I feel like that's how you get people to talk to you. You know, you attract more bees with honey. Essentially then being antagonistic, exactly what they think the FBI is anyway, not on their side. And he talks to him and he's like, hey, you know, we're not going to stop going after him. All you're doing is putting your town, you know, under more strife. Like, just tell me where he is. Tell me where O'Keefe is and I'm going to go talk to him.
I think it's a valid method.
And it worked. I mean, it seems like he found out where he is and he's going to go by himself.
I think that's Saul's method. I don't know if it's the only method, but I think it works for Saul.
I think it's effective. I think it's effective.
You could tell, like you said, what was your quote? You could get more honey with more bees?
You attract bees with honey.
You attract bees with honey. You could also just capture the bees without honey. What I'm saying is, like, you know, as much as Saul uses his method, at what point, I mean, you're saying we should treat them like humans. They're evading the law. Realistically, they should arrest this guy and put him in jail.
And then,
leave him in jail.
But then he doesn't accomplish his mission. His mission is trying not to just arrest a random person, but to try to find O'Keefe.
That is a valid point, and that's why I'm not in the CIA. Sure.
Let's see. Random thoughts for the episode before we go into predictions.
For this episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was... I don't know what we're doing with Carrie. And until we figure out what we're doing with Carrie, I don't know where I'm at with the show.
Okay. I noticed that the therapist or psychiatrist, whoever Carrie was meeting with, is the same. She's a lawyer from Mr. Robot.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, where have I seen her? So this episode had a lot of cameos from a lot of other fantastic shows. Let's see what else. We saw Dante briefly in this episode because she was trying to find out who the woman is before she delved into the dark internet. And I feel like, again, I just really like Saul. I feel like he is so just intelligent in his actions. And Every like task he had this episode, I just feel like he handled it very well. Like, obviously, we know
it's a press conference. He gets the job done. Yeah.
He's not Keane's biggest fan, but yeah, he still handles himself. Like, when the reporter was asking him, like, you know, so, you know, now that you're out, do you feel like it was okay that you were detained? And he says, you know, it doesn't matter that I was in, but now that I'm out, like, way to just divert and still say something positive without really answering her question. He's such a pro.
He is a pro.
Yeah, oh, Manny Patinka, so good.
Yeah.
And then how hilarious was it that, like, right as Carrie is about to open the whole ransomware, Franny comes in. She's like, Mama, what are you doing?
Or, I'm tired of Franny. I've been tired of Franny since, like, I don't know when she was born.
It was just hilarious that she interrupted right at that moment.
I caught her, like, red-handed with the laptop. No,
but it's almost like, you know, she's trying to save her mom from making a dumb mistake. But, I mean, it was too late anyway. Overall, though, I feel like it was definitely not a boring episode. It was entertaining. Loved seeing Saul.
Definitely.
Carrie was frustrating, but, I mean, she ended up, you know, fixing it, so she's all good. Unless it comes back later. Who knows? The guy's still alive. But, yeah, so let's go into predictions.
Predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Feels very alien. You like that?
I do.
Okay, cool.
The home. I've tried to connect it with Homeland. It didn't work.
At some point, Homeland will go alien.
At some point, Homeland. predictions. I'm hoping Carrie finds her way. I actually think Saul will take care of business. And unfortunately, I think O'Keefe is going to have some success in gathering his people to the point of he might not even get arrested because it might disrupt the country.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's not a big surprise that I disagree. I actually think O'Keefe is going to get arrested at some point. Okay. He's going to get detained. And I think that it's going to rally his followers even stronger for him.
Oh, so regardless, we get a stronger force at the end of this.
I could easily see, and forgive us, we didn't get a chance to see the preview on the next episode of Homeland, so I don't know. But I feel like at some point we're going to see a rally where they're going to say, free O'Keefe, and he's going to thrive off of that because he's going to be like a martyr behind bars. I see that. I feel like Carrie's mental health issue is definitely going to keep persisting. I feel like maybe she's going to keep making more mistakes and being a radical. And I do agree. I think Saul's going to handle business. And, you know.
I think both. They're very valid predictions.
He does.
Yeah.
And anything he does.
Very valid.
Well, anyway, thank you guys so much for watching. Please leave your comments and let us know what you thought about this episode. Roger, where can they good people find you?
Good people can find me. You can find me on Twitter, Roger_Corral, or on Instagram. And if you type in Beef Supreme, you should find me on Instagram.
All right. And you guys can find me at LesLitaFace on Twitter and Instagram. And that is all. Thank you guys so much and have a great day.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.